Senate Resources is called to order. It's 3:35, and it is the 27th of January. We do have a quorum to conduct business, consisting of Senator Wagner, French, my co-chairman, Senator Wilikowski, and myself, Senator McGuire. We are taking public testimony today on Senate Bill number 220, our omnibus energy package. And we're going to go ahead and start with Robert Venerables, who's in the room from the Southeast Conference. So, Robert, if you want to come up. And we're going to, Bill and I were just talking, if you can keep it to 5 minutes, that'd be great for all the folks online and here in the room. Okay?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee, for the opportunity to come before you today and speak in behalf of Senate Bill 220. To keep my remarks short, I did supply the committee with a written report that kind of gives an update on where Southeast projects are at. So as you and your staff have questions further after today, feel free to contact me at any time. But for the record, my name is Robert Venables. I'm the energy coordinator for Southeast Conference. Of course, as you know, Southeast Conference is the state's regional development organization whose mission is to undertake activities that promote strong economies, healthy communities, and a quality environment in Southeast Alaska. And for over the last dozen years, our energy committee has been working to with our communities and utilities to the maximum extent possible displace diesel as a primary fuel source for power generation, and we've made significant strides. However, much work is to be done, and we really appreciate and applaud the work the legislature has done in the interim, in particular the outreach measures that you all have taken, and coming to the annual conference meeting in Haines, the Southeast Conference put on. It really allowed the communities to come together before you and represent and communicate with you all. That was much appreciated, and our energy committee has been following the work that has been going on in the interim, and wants to add our support to Senate Bill 220, and thank you for that work. So without getting into any particulars, just wanted to let you know that the Southeastern utilities and communities have been following the progress that your staff and your committee has been moving, and we support that and look forward to working with you in the future and urge passage of this energy policy that will, I think, be a good guide and blueprint for the objectives that we see needing to be continued and enacted for the region. So that's.
Thank you, Robert. And thank you for all of your work, too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, questions? All right, well, we look forward to working with you. We know that the amount in the Southeast Energy Fund is a placeholder, and we're going to look to the study that will come back, the assessment of resources, and we look forward to working with you in the future and appreciate your leadership. Early on, when Senator Wilikowski and I started this process, we were, you know, told by Senator Stedman and others that you'd already embarked on an energy journey, and so we appreciate your resources and look forward to the dialogue.
All right. Thank you.
You very much. Okay. Next, we have Nathan Sobliff with Sea Alaska Corporation. Welcome, Nathan.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have copies of my testimony here for those who would like. I'm the Natural Resources Planner for Sea Alaska Corporation. A large portion of what I do is working on alternative energy projects and economy projects for the corporation. And specifically, Sea Alaska Corporation, we would like to thank the 26th legislature for considering important legislation like Senate Bill 220 and all of the other bills underneath it, realizing that it's the right thing to do. We are very much in favor of Senate Bill 150, which is the creation of Emerging Energy Technology Fund. Many of you may know that Sea Alaska Corporation is spearheaded converting its corporate headquarters to a wood pellet, wood-fired boiler to completely eliminate our need for 35,000 gallons of diesel fuel that we use annually for heating. And a large portion of that was funded from the Denali Commission's Emerging Energy Technology Fund to the tune of $510,000. This is a very important part that helps create the demand for other projects like this, because the technology has not been proven in the states. It's existed in Europe for over 30 years, And because a lot of people are not exactly sure how well it works, we decided at Sea Alaska Corporation to go ahead and just jump into it headlong. It runs out on paper, and we'll prove it up, and we're very excited to see the results of that.
And Nathan, on that point, if I could just say, if you continue, we would appreciate if you could continue as the omnibus bill makes its way through, and when questions arise about the Senate Bill 150 portion of it, you're a real live example of how that can work. And there are some true believers on this committee, and mostly true believers, but rightly so, there are others who question, how do these emerging energy technology funds actually work? And, are we putting money into things that ultimately will not be successful? And so we would appreciate, to the extent possible, that you can follow the bill and talk to people about a real-life example, because that Denali Commission, as you know, money came through a process meant to replicate Senate Bill 150, since we couldn't get it through last year. So great.
Oh yeah, no. Anybody that would like to talk with the Sea Alaska Corporation about our project and the process and how it's worked, they're more than welcome to give the corporate headquarters a call and direct them to me. And once our Plaza conversion is up and running, the door is open for anyone. We'll be sharing our numbers on the conversion and how well it's going along, and the door is open for someone to come look along. Part of our project is that it's a marquee signature project that makes this technology available for anyone to come down and see, because we're just located at the foot of the hill here in Alaska's capital city, and what better place to showcase a new technology like that than the Sea Alaska Plaza. Sea Alaska Corporation specifically supports Senate Bill 71, which would require the state to consider using alternative energy systems when designing a public works project. This is one of the key things to help grow an industry and to convert buildings off of fossil fuels and to more renewable energies, is to just make building conversion project managers look at what else is out there and what's available and how is this working. A great example of this is that Canada's Northwest Territories legislative building is converting to wood pellets because of legislation just like SB 71. So they found that it's alternative technologies are out there that can work for them and provide cost-effective savings. I mean, what would the state of Alaska do with, or school districts do with, an additional 30% savings by switching off of diesel to some kind of alternative technology? Lastly, Sea Alaska Corporation specifically supports and encourages the amendment SB 132, the Southeast Alaska Energy Fund, to help pay for hydroelectric projects, interties, and we urge the inclusion of tidal projects. Sea Alaska is involved with hydroelectric projects already with our Black Bear hydroelectric project on Prince of Wales Island, which has been up and running for a number of years. And we also are working on projects for some tidal hydroelectric projects here within the Southeast region. So again, thanks for the opportunity to testify, and we very much encourage Senate Bill 220.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Nathan. Kirk Hardcastle with the Taku Renewable Resources Coalition. Welcome, Kirk.
Thank you, committee, for having me here today. Once again, my name is Kirk Hardcastle, and I'm the operations manager for Taku Renewable Resources, doing businesses as Fisherman's Daughters Biofuels. And I'd like to stay under my 3 minutes, so I really have to stick within my page here, framework. We're right here in Juneau, Alaska, and we support Senate Bill 150, Emerging Energy Technology Fund, and Senate Bill 220 for the Sustainable Energy Act. We are a group of Alaskan fishing families looking to reduce the cost of our energy by looking at alternative fuel resources. We have received a feasibility pre-construction grant through Alaska Energy Authority under the Alaska Alternative Energy Projects Program. This grant currently funds our research focused on fish waste to biodiesel. We are the only ones in the state who have been granted this, to look at the feasibility of this. It's very fascinating. This currently funds our research, and what we're looking at is the potential for Alaskan communities to be able to reharness any energy that happens to be available in this waste stream. We are the only ones in the state that we know of, and we'd love to hear more, and that's the basis to my support for this bill. which brings me to emphasize the importance of data and the sharing of such in the field of emerging energy technology in the state of Alaska. We feel there is a need for the state to compile emerging energy data to build foundations for further studies if deemed feasible, and to help policy and program managers make effective decisions for future-based decisions upon these previous studies, which is really important because you don't want to keep putting money towards projects that have already been done. So if we can set up a database for reference to be able to build upon that. We hope to access information through these programs will engender competition and collaborative business practices. Basically, we feel that if we are utilizing public funds, that all of our data and information should be available for everybody to be able to use to build upon. As of now, many energy research funds are used as a vehicle to further businesses looking to lower their energy costs. I would like to emphasize the difference between a vehicle and a vessel. Right now, due to our lack of experience in emerging energy technologies, we are a vehicle, which means that money is coming into the state. We are using this research monies, and it is leaving the state in a vehicle. It is not staying in a vessel. I would like to see this money that you put towards emerging energy technology stay as a vessel within our communities longer and longer. Right now, due to our lack of experience in these fields, I, for example, had to go to Finland, had to pay for my own. Much of the research that we do in this field, we have to go to Lower 48. There's many examples within the state where we have to go hire someone from the Lower 48. They come in, take state money, and leave. Our transient workforce right now is in the billions of dollars leaving the state. This can help keep money in the state for communities, for the people, longer and longer, which is really essential. The state's investments, this vehicle is moving Alaskan money out of the state. The state's investments have a very short lifetime in our communities. I would like to promote for our funds to maintain as much time as vessels inside Alaska. This will be done. This is mostly going to be maintained by creating a formal database, just so as you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If anyone else has done my project that we've been funded for, we need to know so that people can keep improving upon it and share that information. That's also very important. I support Sustainable Energy Act 220 for it to help facilitate the state to become not so much as a venture capitalist, but a venture catalyst. You can help attract a lot of other businesses in the Lower 48 by becoming a catalyst, by inspiring others to come in here and start businesses, not just as a venture capitalist, but as a catalyst to solidify the growth of our businesses within our communities, to stay within our communities again. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Kirk. And question for you, this database idea has come up before. It's been recommended to this committee, and I think it's a good one, and I'm kind of thinking about how we collect data for our appropriations and how people go in and enter it onto a system, and then it's, you know, it's available for all of us to share and view and input. I like the idea, and I think when you're investing state dollars that the state ought to be getting something back out of that as a resource. With respect to this idea of getting, you know, using the money more as a vessel as opposed to a vehicle, do you have any other ideas? And if you don't today, if you could think about it, specific policy ideas with respect to, you know, maybe it's even part of the assessment project for each of these, the assessment criteria for each of the projects, that it's an in-state use, that it's going to stay here. You know, it's always difficult to think about how to keep the investment here in the state.
Madam Chair, we actually have one of the best apprenticeship programs. It's envied throughout the rest of the United States here in the state of Alaska. We have an excellent model that can be utilized, and I think we need to tap into that a little bit more. Apprenticeships, if we do import anybody from Lower 48 or technologies from outside the United States, making sure that it's sourdoughs who learn from that technology and then have vested interest within their communities, community-owned programs, and has an emotional investment into it. I can look into that and try and find some more policy.
Yeah, just let me know. And then just for you, as you leave, we did have a presentation from a company called Denali Biodiesel, mm-hmm. and we had that yesterday in our joint energy resources. So they're doing what you're talking about with fish waste. They're based out of Chugiak, Alaska, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a small operation, but I'd be happy, my staff would be happy to provide to you, our staff, what the materials that we received and how to reach them. It'd be interesting for you to share information.
I think that's very essential to share information within our communities.
Absolutely.
It helps us all grow together. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have Jeremy Woodrow with the Alaska Municipal League. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you to the committee. Once again, my name is Jeremy Woodrow with the Alaska Municipal League. And I'll keep it brief because hopefully we have several community leaders here calling in today as well. I'll just set the groundwork for them. In 2010, during the AML annual conference, or 2009, sorry, in November during the AML annual conference, membership approved that energy was one of our top four priorities for this legislative session. We kept the paragraph short, and it reads, "The Alaska Municipal League supports development of a comprehensive energy plan and implementation strategy to meet the energy needs of citizens and communities throughout the state in the most efficient and cost-effective manner." With that said, it looks like SB 20 is definitely the right step forward into meeting our goal and our priority of this. The Alaska Municipal League definitely seeks avenues into ways to make our communities much stronger, and through efficient methods of energy within the state, that's definitely a step forward. And municipal members are definitely going to call in and telling you their take on everything here, and I'd like to keep it at that.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a copy
definitely.
Of what you have with the staff here so we could distribute it.
We definitely will. And okay. Just one more plug. We will be having our members, several members coming in next week as well. I believe we'll be hearing next year from you, Senator McGuire.
Yes,
so
you
we look
will.
Forward to hearing from you then, too.
Great. Thank you so much, Jeremy. Okay. And if there are questions, you can just shoot your hand up. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and start in our teleconferencing here. We're going to go to Jediah Smith. I hope I get that right. My apologies, Mr. Smith. In Anchorage.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jedediah Smith. I am the legislative liaison for the Alaska Center for the Environment, a grassroots organization with over 7,000 dues-paying members. I testify today in support of Senate Bill 220. ACE supports this bill because it encourages the development of emerging renewable energy technology, which will create economic opportunities for Alaskans. As a recent graduate of the University of Alaska system, I can attest to the importance of the university in anticipating, educating, and preparing students for a challenging and demanding work environment. And this bill takes steps forward to meeting Alaska's unique energy challenges in a way that is innovative and efficient. Additionally, the energy efficiency measure contained in the bill will save the state money on energy costs and is not only a no-brainer, but rather an intelligent step toward a more sustainable and stable Alaska future. I would like to thank the committee for including additional funding for public transportation in your letter to the Finance Committee. This will assist Alaskan communities to capture more federal funding for efficient transportation and enable Alaskans to get to and from work while reducing traffic congestion. I encourage the committee to pass this bill. Thank you for your leadership on this issue.
Thank you very much, Jedediah. I appreciate it, and apologies on your name. Okay, next, I'm going to go to Bethel, Mr. Nick Horace. Nick, are you there in Bethel?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can now. Welcome. Please go ahead and put your name and your affiliation if you have any on the record, and we'd be happy to take your testimony.
Absolutely. For the record, my name is Nick Horace. That's H-O-R-R-A-S. And I'm here today representing myself. I reside in Bethel, Senate District S. And I'm here today just to testify in support of Senate Bill 220. I believe this is a major step forward to addressing critical needs in rural Alaska. I see emerging from this bill job creation, economic development, and long overdue steps toward addressing the energy crisis in rural Alaska. I'm currently an energy rater trainee. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's rebate program has allowed me this opportunity. I've also worked with the low-income weatherization program in my region. In my experience, I can tell you that energy efficiency programs really do work for all. Homeowners and residents save money, green-collar jobs are created, and health and safety in our living environment is improved. Energy efficiency and renewable systems are a virtually untapped opportunity within our state. Money is unnecessarily being burned up through under-insulated, poorly sealed buildings and through the use of systems that are inefficient and out of date. Returns on investments in rural Alaska for efficiency and renewable upgrades are very, very high. The AHFC programs I mentioned have been a catalyst for energy efficiency thus far. So now, let's keep the momentum going. I support this bill, and I hope your committee does too. Sustainable energy really is the only future for Alaska. Thank you very much for your careful consideration of this timely and very important piece of legislation.
Nick, thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to go to Ketchikan to William Ratecki. William, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh.
A little louder. She's working on it. Well, just talk as loud as you can.
Yeah, my name is Bill Ratecki. I live in Ketchikan. I am representing myself. I am in Senator Stedman's district. I want to testify in support of this bill. I think since it's an omnibus bill, there are several different elements that each have their own impact, and I'll just try to be brief here. One thing about the improving of public facilities, that is not just money spent, it will be money earned in the future, which is a really good thing for the budget of those institutions, you know, state or otherwise. Also, because we have such incredible energy costs in our rural areas, I would encourage that evaluation to be prioritizing those who would gain the most by it first. In terms of emerging technology, I think some people are a little fuzzy on emerging technology and technology that has quite a ways before it will become out and available, and I think the bill already segregates that. So I think the concern for spending money on something that could be just a wild idea is that concern is legitimate and real, but I think that we have a solution to that concern in the bill. There are plenty of technologies that are available elsewhere but need to be fine-tuned for Alaska. For example, ground source heat pumps, which you folks probably know, there have been several institutional ones that are being put into Juneau, but we don't know much about thermal conductivity of the soils here, and each one is done tested separately for the unique location, which sort of brings into that other point of a previous person who said we need a database. That's exactly the kind of thing that this fund could fund. Would we be building database on thermal conductivity as different soil types around the state, which would give people a leg up on whether or not their location is appropriate for ground source heat pumps. Other things that we haven't looked into, of course, are saltwater heat pumps. Well, they exist. We don't know how many locations are cost effective. I certainly applaud the requirement that people evaluate alternative technologies. I think that's very important. So overall, I want to say I think this bill is a great bill, a step forward that will not spend money. It will save us money. It will make us money in the future. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate your testimony. We're going to come back here in the room to Heinrich from the City of Cake. You did not want to testify? Okay. No problem. Welcome. So let's go to the Matt Sue, the mighty Matt Sue, as Charlie Huggins says. Harvey Bowers. Mr. Bowers, are you there?
Yeah. My name's Harvey Bowers. I've lived in Wasilla for a long time. And I thank you for letting me testify. I'm surprised myself. I'm in favor, very much in favor of this bill. I'm usually not in favor of anything government does, but I am.
All right.
I think it's long overdue, and I echo most of the previous speakers. I was founder and director of the Alaska Craftsman Home Program, which is now known as the Five-Star Home Program, and I've been in energy efficiency a long time, and this is long overdue. And I presently own a bunch of buildings in Wasilla, commercial and residential, and I'm trying to take them to net zero energy. And I don't know if many people in this audience know what I'm talking about, but there's a move around the world to basically build buildings that can supply all their energy within the building. And we're doing it in the Wasilla area, and there's a couple of us in this area doing it with solar and wind, and it's working very well, and it's cut my cost about 50%. And it's possible to do in Alaska, but and we do need the database, as the previous speaker, so because what works in one area may not work in another area, but what even doesn't work is important to know in a database, and what equipment works, what doesn't, how it worked, how it was orientated. All those are important things. I think the state can save a huge amount of money. I was one of a group when they were doing first talking about power cost equalization, trying to convince the state to do exactly this, set goals for energy efficiency instead of just sending people money or utilities money. But we were sort of lobbied out of the existence on that and laughed at. But I think there's great opportunities here. Alaska's a little behind the curve in the rest of the world. There's already net zero energy buildings in Antarctica. There's lots of them in Canada and Europe. In Europe, they call them passive homes or passive buildings. We have great opportunities. The problem is the people doing it are doing it on their own, and it's sort of niches, and nobody's paying attention to those who are doing it. And there's a lot to be learned. But I applaud the state. This is really the right direction. I just hope it succeeds. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Harvey. And be sure to weigh in with your good senator there who's on this committee. He supports it too, I think. Okay, back in Anchorage, Rich Wilson with the Alaska Ratepayers. Rich, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rich Wilson. I live in Anchorage. Been a resident of the state for 35 years. And in the past 2 years, it's become pretty clear, actually beyond that, that we are facing a crisis, not only in one area of the state, but all over. And we need to provide energy that is adequate for our future and our grandchildren. On behalf of the Alaska Ratepayers is a nonprofit educational organization representing energy consumers, electric consumers in particular, throughout the state. Our goal is affordable and predictable electric rates for Alaskans. We firmly believe such a goal cannot be achieved without a substantial state investment in hydroelectric power and other renewables around the state. From the perspective of our children and grandchildren, over-reliance on in-state natural gas, in the case of the rail belt, for Alaska's in-state use is a perilous path to take. We have seen what the past decade's roller coaster gas pricing and deliverability crisis has done to the average consumer. Statesmanship and leadership are absolutely essential as you guide the state through the process of creating a lasting energy strategy. Our hat is off to the committee for the leadership it is taking in this regard. With full recognition of your obligation to meet energy needs of all of Alaska, we believe there are ways to extend benefits from the state's investment in a rail belt program to rural electric customers as well. The time for action is now. As we turn down the lights, worry about Cook Inlet gas availability, pay unbelievable diesel fuel prices, and prepare for shortages elsewhere, people are realizing the urgency. Many sense we need new energy solutions. For our peace of mind and for the next generations, let's solve this. Now, the core source of electricity, the base load, has to be at predictable rates, affordable. It has to be reliable. That means using demonstrated technology while we're pushing future technologies, designing and building systems for 100 years of service, not just for the next few years. The best base load resource in the rail belt is hydro, large enough to serve long-term energy requirements, much as the Fordham Pool and Bradley Lake do so well and much as small hydro does elsewhere. That is why Alaska ratepayers supports immediate legislative appropriations for design permitting, equity funding for Susitna Hydro Phase 1 and other statewide hydro development. Alaska needs to change direction. The rail belt can prosper long into the future, and the rest of the state can as well, only by escaping the roller coaster gas and fuel prices. The state must wean rail belt ratepayers from dependence on gas-fired electric generation. To achieve our twin goals, predictable and affordable power, the state must strive for 50% renewable energy by 2020, not 2025. The state must accelerate the process of moving to large hydro generation as the rail belt's prime source of baseload electric power. A statewide or regional entity with adequate authority to accomplish these goals in concert with utilities is essential. Finally, we need early action. The situation is urgent, and I'm happy to see the letter that the co-chair sent to the Finance Committee in support of implementation of these goals. And what we want to address in specifics are the two, the long term, we need to have a state contribution, much as I said, in the case of the Four Dam Pool and Bradley Lake, in order to bring down the initial cost of hydropower so that it can be flat rates or levelized rates for the long term. And we support the committee's proposal for $10 million for analyzing Susitna, Chacachamna, and Glacier Fork hydro projects in the rail belt, as well as the other hydro projects that are mentioned elsewhere in the proposal. We also support a down payment or an initial design and feasibility for in the amount of $200 million for long-term rail belt energy projects. Alaska Ratepayers seeks your leadership in accomplishing this vital enterprise and stands ready to answer questions the committee may have. Our board members volunteered to join this effort, and all of us are longtime Alaskans with experience in various aspects of life in Alaska. But we all have a concern as well as experience. We want to bring to the table a fact-based discussion that will move the dialogue along, provide you with the support you need to move forward with legislation. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today.
And thank you very much, Rich, for all your work. We've met with you, many of us, and appreciate the time you're taking. Again, lifelong Alaskans, an amazing amount of experience in your volunteering your own time and true public service. We appreciate it. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, just want to follow up, and I've read the things that you've sent us, and I've really appreciated the input that you've had in this process, and appreciate the time that you've taken to help guide us along as we try to develop an energy plan. So thank you.
Our pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to go to Fairbanks next, and Mike Kraft. And again, folks, if there's a way you could limit your testimony really probably now to more like 3 minutes, that would be great. We've got lots of people lining up that want to say a few words. We'd appreciate it.
Hi, this is Mike Kraft of Fairbanks. Can you hear me?
I can, Mike. Thank you so much.
I'll keep it really short. I sent a letter to this committee a couple of days ago outlining some concerns I'm having relative to a wind farm development that we're doing in Delta Junction. And one of the major issues that's facing us right now as we try to move forward to large-scale development, specifically 15 megawatts, is that we're having a hard time pinning down what our avoided cost really is and what we're actually competing against. And, you know, we obviously feel that we're competing directly against diesel here in the interior. And so what we are asking is that you make an amendment to this bill that includes verbiage that requires public utilities doing business in Alaska to basically buy renewable energy if it can match their actual avoided cost. One of the reasons we're asking for this is in Fairbanks, we're dealing with some incredibly bad air quality issues, and we have an opportunity to displace about 3 million gallons of diesel a year in the Fairbanks area through the use of this wind farm facility. We've been able to attract private capital in the tune of about $35 million for this project, which obviously creates an incredible amount of jobs this summer. And one of the other things that it does is it stabilizes the rates. If we can come online with 15 megawatts, we can offer a long-term contract at a fixed price, which does equate to cheaper energy and stable rates. And that's pretty much about it.
Okay, thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate your testimony. I'm going to go back to Anchorage, Bill Knoll.
Thank you, Senator. This is Bill Knoll. I am from Anchorage now. I've lived in Alaska since 1968 when I came up with the Army. By the way, my first winter was in Alaska. It was just south of Fairbanks in the Tanana River Flats. I had a very pleasant two-week stay there in a tent with an Army exercise at 55 below. So welcome to Alaska. We had energy needs then, too.
Yes.
Senator, we have met together, and I'd like to lead this off by complimenting you and Senator Bulikowski for taking the time and trouble to travel to other places to find out how other people do things. As some people know, I developed an economic development project myself in the late 70s, all through the 80s and early 90s, chalking up 40 trips to Korea, 20 to Japan, a couple to Russia, and so on. The net result of that when I left that business in 1991 was about $500 million in revenues to Alaska businesses, principally the railroad, Usability Coal Mine, and the Port of Seward. Since 1991, I dare say that has been matched and surpassed. So it means a lot when capable Alaskans go outside and find out what the rest of the world is doing and how it might contribute to our economy in a fruitful way. So my hat's off to both of you. I know, frankly, you've taken some criticism. It always happens. People get accused of junketeering and so on. Not true in my book, and I'm here to publicly testify on your behalf for taking those actions.
Thank you,
With
Bill.
That, I strongly support and endorse your Senate Bill 220. It's a terrific bill. There's something in there for a lot of Alaskans. I served on the board of Alaska Housing at one point in my career, and I can tell you that the programs that have to do with weatherization are not only needed, but people accept them gratefully. I think somebody testified to that a little bit earlier. I can only add to my compliments for you backing that notion and continuing the effort. I also would like to add my voice to Rich Wilson's regarding the $10 million appropriation for studies not only at Susitna but also Chakachamna. I'd like to point out to the committee at large that I am also a member of this Alaska Ratepayers Group, one of the, I don't know, there's six of us. I think the average experience has got to be in excess of 30 years apiece, some of it good, some of it real, as you will, but at least we've been here a long time, both in public and private sectors. In the 80s, some terrific effort was done on the part of the state, and it measured, by some people's measurements, about 130, some people say as much as $150 million that was spent by the state. Environmental studies, economic studies, flow of the river studies, and so on. Very, very complete job. Now, we've looked at that and, in fact, testified to that and discussed it with Chugach Electric Association here. And their management echoed back to us and said, you know, if you try to duplicate that effort today, it is probably more in the $500 million range. By simply using inflation, it's worth at least $325 million in our book. That is a real asset. It's on the state of Alaska's books right now. That information is as valid today as it was yesterday or in the 1980s. But we look at that in terms of not only information but potential basis for future financing, i.e. you'll be able to go to the market, financing market, bond or equity or whatever you will, and say, look, I've got a down payment here in terms of value maybe as much as $500 million. So when we look at $10 million senators, we look at that as good money following up on a lot of work done by good Alaskans in the past. Refining, in the case of Susitna, the optimization, I think we're calling it in terms of engineering, should we do a 400-megawatt project, should we do a 600-megawatt project, should we do even higher than that? And that needs some, frankly, some work, not only business-wise, but I'm sure there's going to be a political decision down the road. We're looking at, we're calling that work that would be done with that $10 million a fatal flaw analysis. Let's take a look at this thing. Is there anything in Chacachamna or the Glacier project or the Susitna project that would say absolutely not? Or is there something that would say, look, we'd like to prioritize this. This is number one. This is number two. This is number three. So we are greatly interested in that $10 million appropriation in Senate Bill 220. I'm sure I've run past the 3 minutes. I sincerely appreciate your submitting this bill and your, again, your travel, your exploration of other uses for our natural resources. Our notion about Susitna is by no stretch of the imagination an anti-gas move. I am a longtime hydrocarbon guy. On the other hand, the efforts at using, taking a look, value added for our methane, I think is well warranted and may prove just as beneficial as other efforts that we have tried in the past. Thank you very much, Senators.
Thank you very much, Bill. We appreciate your testimony and, again, all the work of your board. If you could pass that along from Senator Wilikowski and the committee and I back to the board for your work. Okay, I'm going to go to off-nets now. Paul Michelson and David Owens. I've got you together. I don't know if you're going to talk together or separate. We'll go on to the next. Jason Meyer, the Alaska Center for Energy. Jason, are you there? Jason, are you there? Yeah, let's go back to Matt Sue and Mark Masteller. Mark Masteller, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
All right, thank you. My name is Mark Masteller. I'm the state director for a group called Cascadia Region Green Building Council. And Cascadia is the chapter of the U.S. and Canada Green Building Council that covers Alaska. Our members are folks like architects, engineers, builders, building owners, developers, et cetera, mostly in the commercial building world. And first, I want to thank everybody there for moving SB 220 forward, and I hope it keeps moving forward, and thanks for your work on this. I'm especially pleased that the bill includes conservation and efficiency aspects and also upgrades to public buildings. Many of you probably know that nationwide buildings use 40% of all energy, including 70% of all of our electricity, and they produce about 40% of our carbon dioxide. There are no data really for Alaska specifically, but I can just about guarantee you it's more in Alaska on all those things. So energy conservation and efficiency in the built environment is one of the fastest and cheapest ways to save both money and energy. It produces a lot of jobs. The state has done a great job promoting weatherization and energy efficiency in the residential sector. There needs to be and can be a lot more work in the commercial and large facility or public facility perspective. There's a lot of work to do there and a lot of work that can be done, and it's very important for the long-term viability of those businesses and facilities. And then almost most importantly is that the conservation and energy efficiency work in the built environment is what makes the renewable energy transition possible. We don't want to waste any energy. We definitely don't want to waste renewable energy. But without those conservation and efficiency measures, you can't get to that renewable energy future. So I'm really pleased to see that SB 220 has that. I support the bill, and I'm really glad to see it moving forward. It has a lot of great components, and I appreciate your work on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Finally, in the MATSU, we'll just finish out the MATSU, Margaret Subbers. Out of Palmer. Margaret, are you there? Margaret?
I'm here.
You're here? Okay. Can you talk as loud as possible? We've got a teleconference has left the room for a sec here.
Okay. My name is Margaret Subers. I want to thank the Senate Resources Committee. My representative is Senator Charlie Huggins, and I am in support of SB 220, and I'm really excited with the language of the bill. Just as Mark was pointing out, it is so crucial to kind of marry the two with conserving energy before we, before we do anything else, and then to add the renewable energy, is it just goes really good together. So I'm excited with that. Thank you for, obviously somebody's put a lot of thought into this bill. I currently work in the weatherization field, and I'm an energy rater, and I'm building my own zero net home, as Harvey Bowers was talking about. Recently, we had a solar tour, and I had over 50 people show up, and it was really busy. I was just really excited that there was that much interest in the MATSU alone at my own house. So I'm really noticing that everybody is concerned, and everybody's, I think, ready. I think we're at a point where this is the right time to do this, and it's a crucial step forward in sustainability, saving money, and saving resources. And I think commercial is the next big step for that. That's every time I'm going by, leaving my job, and I'm looking at these commercial buildings, I calculate in my mind how much energy use they must be just melting through their roofs and everything. So this is another big gap that we need to fill, and I think this bill is going to take care of all those gaps, and it's a really good step forward. We still have a lot of work to do yet to get all this to come to fruition. But I think this is a really good step forward. I commend you for what you're doing, and I'm really excited about it. One really exciting thing is doing the field that I do. I get to see those benefits of cost savings and energy reductions and comfort within hours of being in a house when there's weatherization done. And it's just amazing to see that. And so, of course, I like to see that expanded. There's just so much we can do that's actually very simple. And when, you know, people might say, oh, renewables don't work in Alaska and solar doesn't work, well, I just happen to know a whole bunch of people that live off the grid and it works really well. So keep that in mind as you go through this. Anyway, I think this is going to be a win-win for everybody. So I support 220. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We appreciate it. Okay, we're going to go back now. Is that okay to the off-nets?
Let me see if I can have them do it from there.
Senator McGuire.
Okay. Yes, who's this?
I apologize. This is Paul Michelson and Dave Owens.
Oh, good. We're trying to find you, Paul. Go ahead. Offer testimony. We've been looking for you. Out in cyberspace.
Back on the other line to get us back in. I'm going to let Mr. Owens speak first, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul, for your patience. David Owens, you're there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for hearing us today. My name's David R. Owens. I own Owens Inspection Services in Palmer, Alaska. Been a resident of Alaska since 1962. I'm here today representing the Alaska State Home Builders Association. I'm their legislative chair this year. We just received this bill yesterday, and we do have it out to our membership, but we are here in support. We've read through it several times, and we think you have a good piece of legislation here. We appreciate the letters that accompanied this. It helped us understand. There is one area that I would like to – I hate to bring up the subject of code, but you did mention in the legislation the ASHRAE standard 90.1, and it was the most recent published edition, and we found that sometimes with that language that can be problematic. It would probably be better if we had a more specific year assigned to that and a way to review that as it changed every 3 years. But I thought I'd just throw that out there. We do appreciate this legislation. The Home Builders, I believe, has a lot to contribute to this process, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, David, and to Paul. You guys were early leaders on a lot of these subjects with respect to energy-efficient building and coming around to educate members that it's something you're already doing, and that you're supportive of it and didn't view it as onerous. So we appreciate your leadership from the State Home Builders Association.
Yes, Madam Senator McGuire, this is Paul Michelson. I'd like to take a moment to kind of add to Mr. Owen's comments. As you said, and we appreciate the effort that you're making, we're in support of this legislation in concept. There are a few issues that I've heard while listening to all the testimony. A few answers I have is Alaska, I believe, is one of the premier leaders in the energy arena. I have sat on the ICC, which is the International Code Conference. I sat on their Energy and Standards Committee for 6 years on the national level. One thing we have to recognize, there was people talking about heat pumps and heat sources. Alaska has 5 to 7 different climatic regions, and we have to be careful when we institute this policy that, as it was stated earlier, what's good for Fairbanks may not be good for Juneau, Ketchikan, or even Anchorage. We have to really watch that. There's a provision, I believe, in the bill, and it's more of a question. You have Alaska Housing Finance as being a watchdog for the energy. We feel that Alaska Housing currently right now is mainly in the residential arena, and we feel that Alaska Housing should stay there. They should not be oversight of the commercial industry and the commercial buildings. That should be given to somebody, I believe, with a little, how do I word it, a little more authority.
Okay.
I'll also mention that National Association of Home Builders has just passed recently at the winter conference that we just went to. They have just passed an internal resolution, and the resolution was to urge Congress to acknowledge hydropower as a renewable resource. Because right now, DOE is in the process of taking hydropower out of a renewable resource classification. And if they do that, a lot of the existing dams in the country will basically go by the wayside, and then getting permits for new dams will also be quite difficult. So having that in there, I believe, is a wonderful thing also. And as Dave said, as Mr. Owen said, ASHRAE 90.1 is forever changing. I mean, it's changing so rapidly that hardly anybody can keep up with 90.1, 90.2. And I believe also it is very important to keep label an addition that we're going to follow, and then keep with that addition. Other than that, we are the state association, the local association, are in support of SB 220.
Excellent. Thank you, Paul. And do you have any suggestions for commercial building oversight in lieu of AHFC?
Question, do I have an organization that could oversee it? There's Department of Energy, but you don't want to get federal government involved in the state, and you don't want to get LEEDS because we're going to follow the LEEDS program. At this point, I would like to have the opportunity. We just got this, as Mr. Owen said, yesterday. We would like to have a couple days to think about that and give you suggestions, and then we'd be more than welcome or more than willing to offer suggestions as who we think would be a better oversight than Alaska Housing.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And considering that, too, the idea that there may be a commercial, unit, if you will, an AHFC or something like that. Senator Wagner.
Yeah, could you back up a little bit?
May I say one other thing?
Sure. Paul, finish up, and then Senator Wagner's got a question for you.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll take the question first, and I'll just mention one other thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you made a statement about getting them to keep the classification of hydro as renewable, and then you stated something about if that classification is changed, there would be dams being removed from service.
That's what we understood down at the National is at a meeting we just went to in Las Vegas. It was a 5-day summit meeting, and we were under the impression that Congress is trying to do away with some of the existing dams, and I don't know what bill is in there. I could find that out for you and give you more literature on that. But like I indicated, National Association of Home Builders put a resolution internally, And then we have a lobbying group in Washington, D.C., and we will urge Congress to keep hydro power as a renewable resource and list it as that, because it wasn't currently listed as that.
Okay, if you would, because I'm interested in both sides of that, both the renewable and why Congress would want to take out existing hydro systems. Yeah. I know the environmentalists have wanted to take them out on the Snake and the Columbia for years, but that happens to be the lowest cost electricity in the United States right now. So,
well, that's what we thought, and that's why we voted. There was about 4,000 people that voted to keep it in favor. And one last issue on the legislative intent of the language enshrined in statute, which calls for the increase in Alaska's energy. And then you have listed 10% by 2015, 15% by 2020, and 50% of Alaska's electrical needs using renewable energy by 2025. Since the money was accepted for the stimulus package, DOE has regulation, or Congress put regulation in it, I believe it was 15% by 2013, 35% by 2016 or 18, and then 50% by 2023, I believe. Are our standards that you're promoting here, they believe, in my opinion, they're less than what the DOE regulation was, and aren't we supposed to, by accepting the stimulus funds, weren't we supposed to meet the current IECC standards within 7 years?
Okay, we'll take a note of that, Paul. Wow. But hey, but thank you for your lobbying back in D.C. on the hydro issue, too. I mean, I just think the more Alaskans, the more folks from Pacific Northwest in general that get in there and help educate people about, I mean, it boggles my mind, too. I don't see how it isn't a renewable energy resource. It defies logic for me. So thanks for your, again, testimony and work, and we look forward to talking to you guys more in the future.
And if you want to contact me, you're more than welcome to, and I will check those percentages and those dates, but I don't believe we're aligning ourselves with the stimulus requirements.
Okay, great. That's important to know. Okay, thank you. Going back to Anchorage here, Pat Luby with AARP. Hi, Pat.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. We don't claim to have any particular technical expertise on energy. However, we do have 97,000 AARP members who pay energy bills every month. These customers need energy for safe living. Older persons use energy differently than younger workers. Older persons spend 90% of their time in their homes. They tend to live in older homes, and usually they have the least weatherization and insulation. Because of their greater susceptibility to hypothermia, we tell retirees not to turn down their thermostats because they can endanger their lives. We surveyed AARP members to determine how they were coping with energy costs. 14% said that they turned off their energy source during the winter.
Wow.
We must do something to develop alternative energy sources and less expensive energy sources. We need to reduce energy costs for our public facilities, our health facilities, and our citizens. Last week, I talked to a retired math teacher in Fairbanks. Her December heating bill was $750. She and her husband live in a small house, and like most retirees, do not run appliances as much as a younger family. Her December bill of $750 made her happy. She expects her other bills this winter to be between $900 and $1,000 a month. She and her husband are concerned about continuing to be able to afford to live in Alaska. AARP feels that Senate Bill 220 will not only cut our energy costs, but also help keep older Alaskans in our state. The legislature did a great job recently with the historic weatherization and low-income energy assistance programs. Senate Bill 220 is the logical next step, and once again, it will be historical. We urge your support of Senate Bill 220. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat, and thank you for your support for Bill and I throughout the process and continuing to weigh in to us in the committee on behalf of our retired people in our state. Okay, next we're going to go to Homer, and we have Mako Haggerty in Homer.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I represent the District 9 in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and I sit on the Assembly. I want to thank you for considering this bill, and I'd like to urge you to move it forward. I want to thank you for your leadership and vision. This is exactly the type of thinking and action we need from our leaders down in Juneau, is movement on renewable energy. And so I really want to thank everybody that's involved in this. And I've been listening to the testimony and feel real fortunate that we have the type of thinkers that we have in this state that are working on this. And I really want to thank you for bringing this whole thing forward. And that's really all I have to say. I'm learning an awful lot just from listening to the testimony. I think that we can, with bills like this, it's going to have far-reaching economic benefits for the state. And if we can develop some of these new technologies, I think Alaska can be a real leader. Alaska, we all know, is that's one of our greatest resources is different forms of energy, and there's no reason in the world why Alaska can't continue to provide energy, not just to ourselves, but to export it and export. Hopefully, we can export some new technologies. So I just want to thank you, urge you to move this bill forward, and that's all I have. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Marco. We appreciate your testimony. Next, I'm going to go back to Fairbanks to Lisa Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Lisa Hughes. I'm the legislative liaison for the Northern Alaska Environmental Center here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And firstly, I'd like to thank the Senate Resources Committee and the legislative staff for all of the hard work and time spent in developing all the necessary components for this bill, particularly all the community outreach that was done during the interim. Alaskans deserve an energy policy that will address our immediate needs, as well as make investments in long-range projects that will provide affordable clean energy, jobs, and overall an improvement in our quality of life. We believe that much of our future economy will come from sustainable resource development, such as hydroelectric, wind, tidal, geothermal, biomass, gasification, and other alternative energy development. Alaska has the potential to be a world leader in renewable energy technologies, and I hope the legislature will do its part to help our state fill that role, and most importantly, help Alaskans find relief from expensive and unsustainable energy options. It's time to move forward, and the legislature can play a key role in reshaping Alaska's energy future by passing this bill. So again, thank you, and that's all I have.
Lisa, thank you so much for your testimony. And for the folks that are online, I appreciate your brevity because we're wrapping up here. So as I walk through, thank you for the brevity that you have. Dave Messier, and that will wrap up Fairbanks. Messier?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you guys on the hearing committee for all the time and hard work it took to put this bill together. For the record, my name is Dave Messier. I'm a renewable energy technician with the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council. We're a tribal consortium of over 70 tribal and First Nation governments working in the Yukon River watershed. I personally work and live here in Fairbanks. We feel this bill is a positive step forward in dealing with Alaska's growing energy needs and meeting the current issues that face the state's residents. I'm encouraged by the mention of renewable energy trainings to strengthen local workforces for some of the projects that will be put in place, and want to further emphasize the importance of these trainings. Over the past 2 months, the Watershed Council has run a number of trainings for rural Alaskans through state and federally funded grants, and the response from our member tribes has been overwhelmingly positive. People see this technology as an answer, and they want more of it. But more than that, they want to be a part of it. After reviewing the Alaska Sustainable Energy Act, I'd like to strongly suggest on behalf of my organization and the tribes we represent that tribal consortia be explicitly listed under the definition of eligible applicants, able to apply for funding through the Emerging Energy Technology Fund established in the bill. That said, I thank you for your time and encourage the bill's passage and this small minor edit.
Wonderful. Thank you, David. If there was a way, an email that we had to get in touch with you, that would be great so we can confirm the language. And that would be great. Is there an email that I can get from you?
Can I give it to someone in the office up here?
That'd be great.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, David. Okay, let's go back to Anchorage and Kimbrough Mowry with the Alaska Ratepayers. Kimbrough?
Hi, thank you. And I should just make the correction that I'm a resident of Anchorage and a ratepayer, not necessarily with the ratepayers group.
Got it.
I'm also a property owner in Wasilla and a citizen who goes to extremes to reduce my electricity and natural gas bill. I've studied at Duke University and then continued master's studies at Western Washington, learning the science behind climate change, and work with nonprofits here in Anchorage and with TDX Power, a native-owned power corporation. I've seen some of the great efforts to and successes at getting renewable energy in the state. Thank you for what you've done so far. First, I know the importance of developing renewable energy technologies and have researched the effects of such funds in other states, and I know that they would work wonders here. Passing this bill shows that Alaska is taking a step to be leaders in innovative and clean technologies. Second, as someone whose house heat is set at 50 and who wears sweatshirts and long johns at home, I know that the energy efficiency measure is key. Helping Alaskans know that turning down heat and better insulating their houses can be a popular thing, maybe even on TV someday with some commercials for people to do that kind of stuff. It can be a popular thing. And that it is good for economics and for everyone's health and the state's budget and their own pockets, for that matter. Third, thank you for recommending the funding for public transportation in this bill. Yes, please reduce the traffic on the highways with new forms of public transit. How cool that this bill has the power to do that. Finally, imagine all the new jobs that can be created with the new transit systems and with renewable energy technologies. Imagine many Americans, and of course Alaskans too, who may think of only oil and gas and drill, drill when they think of powering Alaska. And now imagine the expansion in their brains and their lives as they learn that they can be a part of helping others reduce their bills and part of developing wind and tidal or power from the earth. So I'm going to go ahead and say that we rely on you and Juno to do the intelligent, sustainable things for our state, and to not be unfairly influenced by powerful corporations who might get their money from older, less sustainable forms of energy production. So thank you so much again, and please pass this bill and others that follow that will support renewable energies.
Great. Thank you so much, Kimbrough. We appreciate your testimony. And Senator Wilikowski and I were just sharing notes. We're going to have AHFC come in before the committee at some point here, and we were just talking about having them explaining the weatherization program and some tips that people can use. So that may be part of the public education campaign. That or you with your scarves and long johns and sweaters informing people about how many layers, right? So next we're going to go to Brendan Babb. Brendan, are you there?
Hi, Madam Chairman. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the committee for all the valuable work they've done and continue to do. My name is Brendan Babb. I am a board member of the Alaska Center for the Environment, but I also was born in Fairbanks and have been a lifelong Alaskan, living in Senator French's district, and I'm a mathematician. I'm very much in favor of SB 220, and I'm excited by all the great initiatives in this omnibus. I especially like SB 121 and the stress on energy efficiency. When Juneau had power lines cut recently and electricity prices skyrocketed, people in Juneau were able to immediately reduce electrical use by over 20%. People were drying clothes inside on clotheslines and turning down their heat. These high costs for electricity are what the rural areas regularly see. If we can make buildings more efficient, which have savings of 20%+ so far, then we can save energy and money without turning down heat or using clotheslines or making it painful, especially for older people, as was mentioned earlier. Saving energy and money doesn't have to be painful, and SB 121 and weatherization will go a long way to helping that. I also saw a talk recently by Gwen from the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, where she mentioned advances made from the Denali Commission's Emergent Technology Fund, which is modeled on SB 150. I also had the chance to visit Reykjavik, Iceland in 2007 and see all their amazing geothermal resources. I was reminded in the talk last week that Iceland used to be run completely on hydrocarbons and had to import coal and oil. And when those were cut off during World War II, they made a decision to convert to geothermal, which was a resource they had. And they came to Boise, Idaho, to study how geothermal was being used there at the Boise Capitol Mall, and then took that information back to Iceland, and now they're a leader in geothermal energy. Alaska, if we use this emergent technology fund, could be a world leader in geothermal, tidal, wave, wind, and hydrokinetic. We already are leading in wind diesel research, which is a technology that can be exported to other countries right now. Alaska is a unique state. We are very rich in hydrocarbons, and we're even more rich in renewable resources. We have more wave and tidal resources than any other state, along with wind and other resources. Alaska has been great in extracting hydrocarbon resources in harsh climates during the pipeline boom. And as those start to wane, Alaskans can extract our huge amount of renewable resources, which will lead to jobs, saving of money, and a more stable economy. I'd like to thank you for all your work that you've done so far, and I strongly support SB 220, and thank you for your hard work.
Thank you so much for your testimony.
Senator, my apologies.
Brendan,
I just want to say, Brendan, that was excellent testimony. Thanks for taking the time to come out and let us hear your thoughts.
Okay, thank you. And then so the last person I've got there in Anchorage is Thomas Deerfield. And then we'll go to the remaining off-nets. Thomas, are you there?
Here, thank you. My name is Thomas Deerfield. I'm in Anchorage. My company is Dolphin Energy. I'm a renewable energy consultant assisting communities primarily with community-scale renewable energy projects, grant writing, feasibility studies, and so on. I'm currently working on a 2-megawatt biomass gasification CHP project that's proposed for the Upper Tanana. I'm here to testify in support of SB 220. When clients call me and ask to get a grant written to do wind or solar biomass energy projects, I always start with a short list. I say, number one, have you determined how much energy you use? And number two, have you dealt with the energy you waste? And then third, of course, have you determined what's feasible in your location? I advise my clients that no granting agency in their right mind will give grants for renewable energy projects when the applicant hasn't determined what their energy use is. And I also advise them that it would be virtually immoral to spend anybody's money on new energy technology when the building is still wasting energy. I'd say that the same moral imperative applies to state buildings. I do not think that renewable energy technology is on a level playing field at this point with conventional energy, and therefore I regularly advise that universally cheaper is not the correct goal for renewable energy. If renewables stabilize costs and create local jobs and are renewable rather than unsustainable, and they're environmentally clean, then why are we obsessed with the concept of cheaper? Cheaper today is a short-sighted concept, in my opinion. Fossil fuel costs are volatile and will surely escalate again sooner or later. They must, because oil, coal, and gas are finite resources. I think we should focus on cost stability and consider where the money goes. If all costs are considered, including PCE reductions, the reduction in wildfire fighting costs and the benefits of localization of the economy and whatever value can be attached to non-local fuel sources, things like biomass energy do become less expensive. I would also say that the emerging technology industry in renewables is looking for testing ground to try out new projects, and Alaska can be a leader with our high conventional fuel prices, our very challenging climate, and our off-grid communities, and of course, skilled labor force in many areas. So I'll finish up by just saying that I believe the best investment Alaska can make in its future is to do essentially three things. First is fully assess our renewable resources, biomass, wind, solar, hydro, tidal, and the appropriate locations for each of those. Number two would be to
reduce our waste. We still waste a significant portion of energy, including, of course, in state buildings. And finally, to support and incentivize the development and the deployment of sustainable, site-specific, and right-sized renewable energy systems. Thank you very much for all your hard work on this bill.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, we're going to go to Jason Meyer with the Alaska Center for Energy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jason Meyer. I'm the program manager of the Emerging Energy Technology Program for the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, University of Alaska Fairbanks. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'll keep it brief. I wanted to testify today in support of SB 220 and sustainable energy, but in particular on Article 7A, Emerging Energy Technology Fund. It is my belief that this piece of legislation is critical to meeting our goals of sustainable energy for Alaska, as it fills an important funding gap for energy development. Technology is a development process. It moves from ideas to the lab to demonstration, then to commercialization. This transition from the lab to commercialization is known as Death Valley to many in the industry. In effect, great ideas or potential solutions cannot receive funding or be implemented because they have not been proven, and have not been proven because they have not received funding. Many of the best project proposals for energy solutions in our state have no means of funding, as the technology has not been commercially proven. This in effect locks up many of Alaska's great energy resources, as there is no proven method of utilizing them. Wave power, tidal energy, solid waste energy, underground coal gasification are all examples of resources or processes that have limited funding opportunity despite their great potential in Alaska. For the most part, we import all of our current energy solutions. The state can be a powerful instrument to promote innovative energy solutions in Alaska. The Renewable Energy Fund is such an example. One element I wanted to highlight in particular is that often these great proposals come from our local communities. Their implementation is often grassroots driven and have the potential to benefit the local community in terms of economic development and lower energy costs. Our current emerging energy technology projects include waste heat recovery from the Tanana Chiefs region, biomass digesters for Cordova, a commercial scale wood pellet boiler for Juneau, a seawater heat pump in Seward, and solar thermal systems for Elders and Kotzebue. The Energy Technology Grant, funded by the Denali Commission, seeks to develop these ideas through implementation. The most valuable element of funding these projects through public funding is being able to access the data, analysis, reports, and lessons learned. This provides the public, lawmakers, decision makers, and the industry vital information on the projects and technology, providing an early opportunity to analyze technology, especially as future funding decisions are considered or large spending initiatives are considered. One comment, I'd like to echo the comments of the gentleman from Ketchikan earlier with regards to the concerns about, the valid concerns about state spending on non-commercial energy technology. And I too agree that the current bill and current process greatly does address this. And I'd be happy to speak with legislatures and staff on this area. Finally, Alaska's energy needs and infrastructure, particularly in rural Alaska, are very similar to the developing world, which will be the largest growing market of energy demand in the next 50 years. By developing homegrown technology and expertise, we have the opportunity to become world leaders in these technologies, vastly growing our potential for international economic opportunities. Thank you again for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And Jason, we look forward to having you as a resource as the bill makes its way through. I mentioned it earlier that component of the bill is understood by many, but there are some that are still not as familiar with these kinds of funds. So any help you can provide as the bill moves along, we would appreciate.
Certainly. I'd be more than happy to assist or be a resource. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mira Kohler. You there, Mira?
Yes, I am. I just got unmuted.
No problem. Thank you so much, by the way, for all of you for being patient. We had so many people online today. Thank you for your patience.
No problem. All right, for the record, my name is Mira Kohler, and I'm the president and CEO of Alaska Village Electric Co-op, and we are the electric utility that serves about 53 rural Alaska villages across the state. I just wanted to testify very briefly in favor of the concept of SB 220. This is a bill that is long overdue in our state. We have needed a comprehensive energy policy for many years, and I am very proud that this legislature has seen fit to advance such a bill and that it incorporates so many elements that are so critically needed in our state. I would like to echo the comments of others that have supported the concept of energy efficiency standards and improvements. The Emerging Energy Technology Fund has been very near and dear to our heart for a long time. The Renewable Energy Production Tax Credit, I think, is going to certainly catalyze a lot of major projects in our state. And obviously, I'm very interested in what may transpire with the renewable energy as it develops across the state. As you know, AVEC has been a leader in renewable energy in our communities, and a great deal more effort is needed to get to a level where it can make a meaningful dent in Alaska's energy consumption. I would like to also echo support for what was expressed by Alaska ratepayers. We do need a viable long-term solution that impacts the entire state. I do not want to see our regions being pitted against each other for scarce resources. So as we move forward in this process, I would like to see us work together to develop a really viable, comprehensive, long-term energy source for Alaska that is local, indigenous, and perpetual. I laud your efforts, and I thank you for doing this, and I will continue to be involved to the extent that I'm allowed to be as we move forward.
Thank you so much, Mira. You are allowed to be the whole way, and we want to thank you again on behalf of the Senate committee for your work in the stakeholders group. We know you put in valuable days of your summer and fall into that work, and we applaud your leadership.
Thanks.
Okay, Ian Dutton with the Alaska Sea Life Center. Ian, are you there?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm Ian Dutton. I'm the CEO of the Alaska Sea Life Center here in Seward. And we're Seward, as you may know, we are Seward's largest private employer and the state's only public aquarium. And we strongly support the intent and general content of SB 220. We think this is both a practical bill in terms of what it seeks to achieve and a timely bill given the increasing cost of energy and the need for proactive action to address the impacts of climate change. We believe the targets you've set in the bill are both realistic and achievable, and we commend both you, Madam Chair, and Senator Bulikowski for your leadership on this initiative. There are two specific comments we'd like to offer on the bill today. First, in relation to Section 18.15.310, which has to do with energy efficiency. It's begins on line 27 of page 2. And we certainly commend the intent to improve energy efficiency in public facilities and especially appreciate the emphasis on making schools more energy efficient. But we would like to see this section of the bill expanded to include non-profit partner institutions such as the Alaska Sea Life Center. If you folks know the history of this organization, we were initially funded by a grant from the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trust Council and operate in exactly the same manner as a public library, a university research center, or a tourism visitor center, and yet we enjoy none of the privileges of public support that those facilities enjoy. For example, under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, we are specifically excluded from receiving any funding for energy conservation because we are designated as a public aquarium, even though we're actually more like a research facility. We are specifically excluded from any stimulus funding. And that exclusion has made it very, very difficult for us to compete for critical funding and has really undermined our ability to not only retain staff, but to also maintain our position as a leading state marine tourism attraction. I also should add that limitation has served to dampen our willingness to invest in emerging energy technology and mitigation research. Which brings me to our second point in relation to Section 4499.115, which is on page 13, line 25 to 27 of the bill. We believe it's critical to not just limit the range of renewable energy technologies to qualify under this Act or to add a reasonable additional current options that are not defined here. And specifically, we're referring to ocean thermal energy, which is comparable to geothermal energy. And as many on this call would appreciate, over the past year, with the support of Senator Stevens, the Seward community led by Mayor Willard Dunham, and most recently with the support of the Denali Commission, we've developed a proposal here to and a project to implement ocean thermal energy using ambient seawater from Resurrection Bay. That same technology is widely used in Europe already and has provided heating in communities in Scandinavia for up to 40,000 people at a time. So it's a proven technology that's never been applied here in Alaska. And Jason Meyer, in his comments just a moment ago, referenced the fact that we've received some funding under the Emerging Technologies Fund from the Denali Commission to implement what would be the largest scale application of this project in Alaska. That project will save us around 57,000 gallons of fuel oil each year and will reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by more than 1.2 million pounds. But most importantly, the technology enables us to maintain our year-round workforce of more than 80 full-time equivalent staff, to keep the costs to our visitors down, and to keep critical marine research going. We also believe that the project has enormous leverage potential. Our advisors on this project, Andy Baker and other folks, have undertaken analysis that shows the same technology can be applied in southeast Alaska, south-central Alaska, and southwestern Alaska. It could be used in a wide range of coastal communities. We'd be happy to share some further details on this technology with the committee and this project, but there is also going to be a telecast on this project, another media program on Channel 11 News this coming Friday night. I'd encourage the committee to have a look at that. But I just wanted to really emphasize the importance of adding ocean thermal energy to our repertoire of technologies in this bill and the importance of broadening the funding to quasi-government institutions such as the Alaska Sea Life Center. And I'll wrap my comments up there, but thank you for the opportunity and again, commend you for your leadership.
Thank you so much, Ian. We appreciate your testimony and so noted. We've made those notes today on the two recommendations. On Friday night, what channel and what time is the show?
Yeah, I understand it's going to be on Channel 11 at 10 o'clock on Friday night.
10 o'clock? Okay, thank you. And thanks for your innovation out there. Thank you. Okay, next we're going to go to Ross Cohen. And now we are past the committee time, so if folks could limit, there we have that. Limit their testimony, we'd appreciate it. And you're also welcome to submit it in writing and email, of course. Brad Reeve. Brad, are you there?
For the record, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Brad Reeve. I'm the General Manager and CEO of Kotzebue Electric Association and the President of the Alaska Power Association. Thank you for your leadership in looking at the long-term needs of the citizens, and I think you've done a wonderful job of listening to folks across the state. I think there's a lot of good elements in the bill. From energy efficiency to build sustainability to the renewable portions of it that can fund the renewable energy that we're going to need to be sustainable long term. Also, the addition of the Emerging Energy Technology Fund is one that is going to allow us to try new things. We're a recipient in Kotzebue of a solar thermal project that we believe is going to be successful because of the high refraction rate we get in Kotzebue. Being able to have the state sponsor programs like this are going to lead to new technologies that will lead to new jobs and will bring us to a point of the kind of sustainability that we're going to have. There was a lady that mentioned just how minimal some of the efforts are that can make a difference in people's lives. For the last 2 years, I've been able to participate in a project where we went to approximately 80 elder homes in Kotzebue each year, and simple things like insulation around the door jams and covering their windows and things made a huge difference in their ability to be comfortable. I'll keep it very brief. Thanks again for your efforts. Power Association and Kotzebue Electric Association appreciate what you've done, and we think that this is a good bill, and thanks for all your work.
Thank you so much, Brad. Thanks for your leadership as well. Charles Dearden?
Yes, hi, this is Chuck Dearden. I'd like to thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me voice my opinions here. I'm going to keep this very quick. I find no exception to any comment that anybody's made before me. I would like to say thank you for your efforts. I do have to mention that Ketchikan is in favor of the energy efficiency program and also weatherization and the rebates programs down here, they're quite effective. It's good to be able to reduce the demand to buy a home by 50% and get paid for it. We really like that idea. We've also passed the International Code Council energy codes down here. We're a small community, and it was a big step. All the builders and the public were in favor, and so that includes commercial work, and you might want to look into in the future by the manner in which you enforce and this fund is to look at the communities that do enforce the commercial end as well as the residential. So I thank you again. You can count on my continued support, and I'm off.
Great. Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate it. Okay, next we're going to go to Catherine Keith. Catherine, are you there? Catherine Keith? Okay, how about we just skip down then to Monty Worthington? Monty? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thanks for the opportunity to testify on this this Senate Bill 220. For the record, my name is Monty Worthington. I work for Ocean Renewable Power Company, specifically as their Director of Project Development for ORPC Alaska. ORPC Alaska was fortunate enough to be selected as one of the recipients for the Emerging Energy Technology Grant Fund administered by the Denali Commission for our Nanana Hydrokinetic Project on the Tanana River, with our collaborator on the project, Alaska Center for Energy and Power's Alaska Hydrokinetic Energy Research Center. ORPC is also pursuing a tidal energy project in Alaska and Cook Inlet and working closely with researchers at the University of Alaska Anchorage to develop materials testing and environmental modeling and monitoring techniques for this project. As a nation company developing these first-of-a-kind projects in Alaska, we rely on both private and public funding sources to develop these projects in a timely manner. Passing this bill and establishing particularly the Emerging Energy Technology Fund will go a long way towards not only providing clean, emissions-free power to Alaskans, but also establishing Alaska as a leader in this field. As many of the colleagues have said on this point, Alaska, because of the wonderful natural resources we have here, has the potential to become a world leader in many of the renewable energy technology areas. Not only will this provide clean power and stable power to Alaskans, but it would also give us the ability to export this expertise and to other parts of the world that have similar natural resources, as well as similar energy infrastructure, such as what we have in rural Alaska. For these reasons, I'd like to take the opportunity to support the passage of this bill, including its Article 7A for the Emerging Energy Technology Fund, as well as the Section 43.20.046 on Renewable Energy Production Tax Credit. Production-based credits such as tax credits and feed-in tariffs are important aspects of renewable energy development as they help transition technologies from the emergent phase through to being competitive in the marketplace. And I'd also like, as a final note, to express the support of the university involvement on these emergent energy technology grants. We've found as a company operating here in Alaska, it's been very helpful to integrate universities in our research and technology development and encourage cross-campus cooperation on this research. So thank you for your time, and I support the path to this bill.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Monty. Okay, so we've got, my apologies, Senator Wagner.
Just wondering where your location for your tidal project that you plan to do in Cook Inlet is?
It's located off of Fire Island. Our permit area is extends from the mouth of Knick Arm past Fire Island and Anchorage.
Okay. I can understand that. I tried to anchor a boat off of Fire Island one time.
There you go.
Anchoring was okay. Picking it up was pretty tough.
Yeah, it can be troublesome.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Okay, next, Catherine, are you back online? Catherine, are you there? Okay, then we'll go. Oh, you are there. Okay, Catherine, go ahead and offer your testimony, please.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I'll be real quick. I'm with the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, and specifically with the Wind Diesel Application Center. and I just wanted to strongly state my support for specifically the Emerging Technology Fund. With wind diesel technology becoming so prominent in the state of Alaska with 15 installed systems and this amount to double really over the next couple years, there's still so many things that we could do to improve the performance of wind diesel systems and really need to work with energy storage systems, for example, to be able to fully get the benefit from higher penetration levels of wind. So I just appreciate your support. Thank you.
Wonderful, Catherine. Thank you very much. And thanks again for your patience. Okay, last two folks I've got here. I've got Tom Lacoste and then Paul Kendall. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. My name is Tom Lacoste. I support the bill. I think that there is substantial room for improvement. I believe the most important aspect of improvement would be the codification of the energy conservation and renewable energy goals. And this is why. It's necessary for all of the state agencies and regulators to be able to have codified statute in order to apply the policy that you're seeking to promote here. In order to actually engage utilities in implementing these goals, the RCA in particular needs guidance, codified guidance from the legislature in order to make its rulings. They need to be able to look to a codified energy efficiency goal in order to be able to decouple energy production from rates. They need that codified goal of renewable generation sources in order to rule on projects that are submitted by utilities and private power producers in deciding which projects to go forward and approve for rates. I might also add for both the production tax credit and as an energy policy goal, production of renewable or and sustainable home heating and transportation fuels. I think you would certainly realize this, particularly with intermittent renewable energy sources. You need some sort of energy storage, and typically what you've heard from ACEP is wind diesel, whereas you could more effectively keep the money in the community if it was wind with biogas or biodiesel backup and storage in energy storage in that form, and that's why that should be a energy policy goal and included as a energy tax production credit available to 15% of the per unit cost of production of that particular renewable fuel source. I've mentioned this in testimony to the committee before. The levels for conservation should be substantially improved, as was previously mentioned. There may be some federal subsidy requirements, but they should at least match. The percentage improvement in energy efficiency should at least match the year, i.e. 15% improvement by 2015, 20% improvement by 2020, et cetera. The renewable energy generation goal should be improved as well, but should have some short-term goals so that the planning for these renewable projects should be undertaken immediately to have the most long-term effect. And with regard to in-state gas supply, the codification of the renewable standard will also tend to allow us to develop those biogas resources as well. With regard to the testimony previously about improving energy efficiency, the AEA or its successor Department of Energy should be tasked with generating those Alaska-specific commercial and residential building codes suited to each of Alaska's climate zones, so that we have a substitute to that will meet or exceed the ASHRAE standards that are more tailored to Alaska conditions. To the extent that there is any subsidy in a PCE or in an energy grant fund, those communities and utilities should be mandated to adopt those specifically tailored commercial residential building codes. It makes no sense for us to keep on pouring state money into a sieve. We need to have those communities that are accepting state money for subsidy of production of energy realize they have their own responsibility to minimize their energy wastage.
Hey, Tom, we're going to ask you to wrap up. We're 15 minutes over here. Is there a way you could submit the remainder of your comments to us in writing? We've got one more person to testify here, and we're really at the end.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom. Paul, Kendall. And Paul, if you could keep your comments to 3 minutes, too, we'd sure appreciate it.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Paul.
Oh, okay. Well, first, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify last, just in case you have any questions, all right?
That's right.
And I'd like to thank all the bodies that came out and for all the testimony. It's been great. I'm a little bit mentally burdened here, but let's see. First of all, I want to make sure that for the record, I have no conflicts of interest. I don't have any income ties indirectly or directly, and I bring nobody's attempt to be funded to the table. Having said that, about 6 months ago, it dawned on me that somehow the data was moving so quickly, I was going to have to be able to compile it so that whatever was happening had to transcend the individual. So I started a site, and that site is MFH2O, and that stands for magnetic fields, MF, and then H2O, which stands for water. And if you'll pull it up on Google, what I did was I tried to compile a whole series of stories, and I want to recommend to you the links just above the light in there. You'll see that there's over 40 manufactured electric vehicles that are breaching. It's 11 cities across the lower 48 that just launched, putting in 11,000 charging stations. Nissan is launching 4,700 100-mile range electric vehicles. And in addition to that, I want to have you look at 2B on the left under labels, which goes to home energy units. Now, everyone should understand that I only have one thing close to my heart, and that's the residential home. Our families, which are the foundation of all those commercial entities and institutions and school teachers, and none of those positions are available until you secure the home. And yet, by the way, if I might digress here just a bit, we seem to be caught in a state of confusion because we continue to try to mingle revenue with freeing our people with the new technology. So what I think you need to do is you need to start a personal residential life essential clean energy needs committee. And that residential clean energy, and clean, by the way, is the key to it. Most of the forward thinking now use the word clean because a lot of renewables are trying to be, that word's trying to be used to wedge in other agenda items. But that discussion needs to be held in its own room. And when we come into that room, ladies and gentlemen, it should be a magnificent discussion with smiles on our faces and new ideas and new collaborations and partnerships and funding. It should be a magnificent moment. And then that is a special need that's set aside from everybody else's need. And I think if you'll do that, you'll suddenly realize that it's hard to serve two masters as long as you continue to try to commingle that family home. Now, going back to my site, which is MFH2O, under 2B you'll see home fueling stations. We're now seeing an emergence of products. They're all headed for the home. VW just announced they're putting in a home powering unit. Ballard Fuels, Honda has a home refueling station. Ford, MIT, Professor Nasseri just patented a design that can run a home on 5 liters of water and drive a car also. we're now seeing what's long been suppressed and overdue. So if you look at those home powering units, and by the way, Panasonic just introduced at the CES show in Las Vegas a battery which can store enough electricity to run a house for a week. There's one little caveat there. That house is a Japanese house, not an Alaskan house. But the point is that technology is just what you should see coming. Your children in Alaska have a chance to just lead the world overnight. So if you go down there, and you might look at 6C, which is a cute little video on cars, and then 9 is Lynx. Having set that aside, I want to give you a couple of warnings, kind of shots over the bow. First of all, I'm concerned that we're going to repeat 1981. I'm very concerned. Everybody's thinking that fossil fuel is going to continue to go higher. It's my belief that they're going to drop that price and decimate the, which is what they've done in the past. This will be the fourth time they've done this. It just decimates all your markets and funding. So I would be cautious about thinking that it's going to go higher, the price of fossil fuels. The other thing, ladies and gentlemen, is as near as I can tell by my data, I'm pretty sure that oil is a down body. It's I don't think it's ever leaving again, and one of the reasons for that most people don't know is 70% of all of our oil goes to transportation. But I'm now seeing technology emerging at a pace of which I've never seen before. And the gas thing, I'm concerned because it's so far out that I really think it's unpredictable. So I would just hope that whatever you do, that you bring the oil companies to the table to give testimony so that it builds some type of a legal foundation for future testimony. All of you are well-intended, but I assure you, these big boys, if they have a deal, they're going to bring it to us. It's not us that are going to bring it to them. Now, having set that aside, here's what I'd like to suggest to you. And by the way, you should look at that TAPS line. If you'll focus on that TAPS line being two-thirds empty and keep in mind all it does is move hydrogen and carbon, I'm very concerned that either we need to have that to move instead of the bullet line or something else, or else they might be actually looking to finagle some hydrogen or something down that line. But I think your key to where your future is at is a deep scientific and economic and political view of that pipeline. Now, I want to suggest something to you, and I hope you'll find this very interesting. It's my belief that I want to see an oil tanker out here in this inlet. When you look at the Cook Inlet, now there's lots of oil tankers that are backed up because of the lack of demand for oil. But if we took one of those tankers or grain ship and cleaned out the tanker, whatever, some of those tankers are 1,000 feet long and 150 feet wide with a 30-year lifespan on that hull. Ladies and gentlemen, you could park that tanker out there in that inlet, and you couldn't. I'm not talking about blades in the water. I'm not talking about harming fish. I'm talking about water partnerships.
Hey, Paul, we were just taking testimony on Senate Bill 220, and I always appreciate your ideas. We're going to have to go ahead and shut down the committee now. We're 25 minutes over. We'd be happy to take any of your ideas via email. I always appreciate them. And don't mean to cut you off, but with that, we're going to go ahead and shut down public testimony. We've gone over today and close it for today. So thank you very much.